Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, Every Patient's Advocate. I'm here in the studio this morning with Dr. Brian Johnson. He's an associate professor of the Department of Psychiatry at Upstate and the director of addiction psychiatry. We're talking, Dr. Johnson, about this article in The New Yorker that talked about depression and antidepressants, and introduced the question of whether psychiatry can be a science. And as we were coming into the break, we were talking about relatedness, the ways different people relate. You were talking about a patient who might be narcissistic, who really didn't relate to the world. And, you know, I had to think back to the example we gave of this person who's been laid off and has withdrawn and withdrawn and withdrawn, and then goes to the doctor and has written a prescription, and the question was whether or not he should take that drug. And I want to ask you, we're talking about relatedness, but when I think of depression, I actually think of sadness. So what's the relationship there?
Well, sadness is a feeling, and depression is an illness. So a feeling of sadness, we all know there are social customs like sitting Shiva or going to wakes. Or if you just got laid off from your job and you have a good human resources person, they'll help you get into a program for people who are just laid off, how to get a new job.
Kind of support group kinds of things.
Yes, and counseling, but occupational counseling. So the concept of sadness and unfortunate events is stay related. Go to the wake, go to the family who's sitting Shiva, go to the human resource referral. Stay related.
Okay. But I still want to go back, because I want to look at the difference now between the sadness and the relatedness. Am I understanding you correctly that maybe I'm interpreting it as one thing, but it's really something else?
Well, we're always so careful to differentiate sadness and depression in DSM-4.
DSM-4 meaning?
The Diagnostic and Statistical Manual
of the American Psychiatric Association. Yeah. That's kind of the Bible of psychiatrists for diagnosing, right?
It's the Bible for diagnosing, so they have a clear indication there that if there's an acute episode for the first 2 months, it's grief.
Okay.
If you're grieving for more than 2 months, then it's reclassified as depression.
Just 2 months?
Well, I know grief never ends, honestly. If you lose someone that you love, you will always think of them. But the acute symptoms of grief, the trouble relating to people, should be transient.
Almost the withdrawal from the world.
The withdrawal should be brief.
Okay.
In fact, the healthiest people don't get withdrawn. They're very, very sad. But they talk to people about it.
And, you know, that talking, that really is the key. And one of the big dichotomies here is the talk therapy versus the drug therapy, isn't it?
Well, they're not necessarily a dichotomy. If your concept is that people can go into a shutdown mode, which is what a depressive brain illness is, then the antidepressant medications can actually help you be in the right position so that you can use talking.
Well, let's talk more about that, but let's go back to our example. The person who's been laid off has now gone to the doctor, and the doctor has written a prescription, and the question was, do you fill the prescription? So the way I look at it, being the layperson who doesn't really know anything about psychiatry, I look at it as, is that my instant fix? If I start taking that pill, is that my instant fix? And so I have to ask you, what questions should I be asking?
Okay, well, there's two ways to answer it. The first is, what is your relationship with your doctor? If you have the kind of doctor you trust, who really understands you, if they hand you a pill and they say this will really help you, and maybe it even has some side effects so that you notice that you're really taking something from the doctor, that's called the placebo effect. It's already undoing some of the unrelatedness.
Just the fact that the doctor's written me a prescription
just
before I even take the pill?
Just the placebo effect. So
wow.
All antidepressant trials show a very substantial placebo effect, and then active drugs, imipramine, bupropion, these kind of antidepressants, have an additional response rate that's due to the action of the drug in your brain.
All right. If I'm written that prescription and the doctor says this is going to work for you, the doctor's not saying this is going to help you get a job, because that's really what my problem is in my mind, is that I need a job.
Okay, but that's, of course, wrong.
Of course.
The problem is you've become unrelated. You used to have all these coworkers. You talk to them every day.
Right.
Maybe about some personal issues. Suddenly these relationships are cut off. the depression is a warning. Get more related.
Okay.
If the antidepressant helps you, take the antidepressant.
So if someone's listening this morning and they think, oh, I've been so sad for so long, I've been so depressed, I feel, you know, maybe they're taking a drug or maybe they're not. Your real answer for them is they need to get out and start relating to other people, not withdrawing from the world.
Or if you're a family member and someone is becoming depressed, you can know that this is what's going on. They're getting unrelated. You want to take this person, sit down with them. Don't talk to them about the weather and the Yankees. Talk to them about their feelings.
Their feelings. Talk. Okay. You know, I look back at that whole drug thing, and there's, of course, there's a lot in the literature now, too, about pharmaceutical companies, and, you know, they're encouraging drug prescriptions to be written. We see commercials all over the TV telling us that our depression can be solved by taking this little pill. You know, in the literature and even in this article from The New Yorker, they talked about Mother's Little Helper, which was, you know, drugs that were being taken, what, back in the 50s and the early 60s to help people get out of their depression. But there must be side effects to some of these. And it seems to me that's one of the questions that needs to be asked, too.
That's a terrific question for your doctor. What are the side effects? So let's warn the listeners about potential side effects. There's one group that is the king group of unrelatedness called the benzodiazepine, Xanax, Klonopin, Valium, Ativan. These drugs are addictive. They make it harder for people to relate, and they make it harder for you to even think. There may be permanent brain damage from taking these kind of drugs.
Then why would anybody write a prescription
for that? Well, we're currently at war in the medical profession over whether these are a good group of drugs to prescribe at all. And some psychiatrists and physicians have a different opinion than me, of course.
Mm-hmm. But okay, so if my doctor has written me a prescription for one of those particular drugs, should I be asking even more questions?
Well, I would go to the Heather Ashton website. Heather Ashton is a British psychiatrist who has written extensively on the side effects of benzodiazepines.
And we'll put a link to that website from our HealthLink on Air website.
And then go to your doctor and say, what about XYZ that I read on the website?
And what kinds of things am I going to find there? Does it discuss side effects?
Yes, it does. You're going to find there that the incidence of developing an addiction to benzodiazepine drugs is about 50%, and getting off them is very hard. There's a protracted withdrawal, even if you're not addicted.
Really? If I'm a family member and somebody I love has been prescribed one of these drugs, what am I going to notice?
You'll notice that the person's signal that something is wrong is getting cut off. They become more complacent.
Mm.
They're initially happy on these drugs because the signal of distress is damped. But that's exactly the signal that everybody needs to pay attention to.
So if I'm upset, I start taking one of these things, I'm not upset anymore. I feel like it's fixed me. And what you're saying is that really has created more problems.
You're walking around then slightly intoxicated all the time, and you don't care. But that's going to just make things worse.
Yeah, not caring isn't what fixes the problems. Are there drugs that are good drugs to take?
Yes, the antidepressant group in general is terrific.
Okay.
We prescribe antidepressants by side effects.
Okay.
So the SSRI and SNRI group.
And those are what drugs?
Those are, the SSRI is the Prozac, Paxil, Zoloft.
Those kinds
group,
of things. Mm-hmm.
And the SNRI is Effexor. Duloxetine, I forget the brand name right now.
Okay.
But anyway, those drugs have about 97% sexual side effects.
So, meaning problems with sex.
Decreased interest in sex.
Not more interest.
Decrease of erection or lubrication, decreased orgasm.
All right.
They make you less related as an unfortunate side effect.
And, you know, that goes back to that whole family thing. So say my loved one has come home, has lost his or her job. I see them getting depressed. I see them withdrawing. I'm going to be angry because now they're not working and they're not doing anything about it. What am I supposed to do instead?
Well, it is a hard place. So you might want to, for example, go back with the person to the doctor who prescribed the drug, bring some stuff from the internet about these are the side effects, and ask the doctor, what about this? It's disrupting our relationship. How can you help me?
And I've got to think, too, that talk therapy would really be valuable at that point. Maybe in addition to the drug, because the drug can actually help you get into the talk therapy the right way, if I understand
correctly.
Talk
therapy is just wonderful. And speaking from many times that I've spoken to social workers, psychologists, non-prescribing therapists, it also drives them nuts that some physicians prescribe drugs that actually make their job harder.
Yeah, I've got to think that if the key is relatedness, as you're talking about, and making sure that you establish, and not establish, but keep those strong relationships with other human beings, then any drug that would cut you off from that isn't going to be helpful.
And again, drugs that don't do that, that actually help establish relatedness, are terrific to take.
So the answer to the question about should you take the drug really has everything to do with what that drug is and what the purpose is behind it.
And who the physician is who's prescribed it.
Very good. Well, Dr. Brian Johnson, this has been a fascinating conversation. We all know people who have had problems with depression, maybe having ongoing problems with depression. I think you've given us some new ways to look at it and maybe some new approaches to help them out.
All right, a pleasure to be here.
And thank you so much. Listeners, we are going to take a break. We'll be back in just a few moments. Please do stay with us. This is Upstate's HealthLink on air on 570 WSYR.